I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Golden Gate Bridge.
So grab your international orange paint.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And can you believe it? This is our first episode of June. June is here. How do you feel?
I am unwell. We put out the pride towel today in anticipation of such an event as the turning of the month. The Easter bunnies went away. We did laundry this morning. So the Easter bunnies went away and the pride dogs came out.
Yep.
And it's time. I am unwell. I'm also unwell because I put on shorts again today for maybe the third or fourth time. And it's just not good.
Right. But yes, I also feel like the transition from May to June is really one of like the starkest ones because it's like summer, you know, and we have it like ingrained in our body since we were in school that this is the time where it's like no more work, all play.
Yes,
makes Danny a good boy.
That's right.
What's the quote? All work and no play makes, is it Danny? I'm quoting The Shining. Are you with me?
Oh, I thought you were just saying it in general. Is his name Danny? I've only seen that once.
Hold on. I think it's Dan.
Right about these things. I am usually wrong about these things.
Nope. Oh, it's Johnny.
It's Johnny.
It's very Johnny. Close. It's not Danny. It's not Danny.
Very close. Johnny, Danny.
Can you imagine if it was, here's Danny.
That's really how we should have known.
I mean, wow.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right. Wow. It is a rough transition. It's like, and this is the weekend I feel like that is of the transition where like it's Friday. We all agree we stop working.
Yes.
And then the rest of the summer is you get your stuff done, but you also make time for outside drinking. You make time for happy hours and beach time and whatever. And, you know, it's like, are you working? Sure, maybe. Sure, maybe.
I may not be. Mm. I hope to God I'm not, to be honest.
Listen.
Would love to not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, here we are at the top of June. So much to look forward to. And we're doing an episode today. You know how much we love structures.
Love a structure.
Love structures.
Both for my life and to look at.
Correct. And so I just figured everybody knows what this is. Like what the Golden Gate Bridge is. It's like the thing in your mind. Mm-hmm. You know it. You've seen imagery of it since you were young, even if you've never been to San Francisco.
Yes.
It is an icon of the United States. And we're going to learn all about her today because I think she's fascinating.
She's fascinating. And it's funny because you know how there are some things, most things in American history where you're like the Oklahoma land rush. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea, right? Like, we covered that and that was just a weird business. So I was kind of expecting, like, researching this to also be kind of crazy. And there are some moments where you're like, oh, that's abnormal. But all in all, it's, like, pretty straight up how they built the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, she's old.
She's old. But it's not
isn't it crazy that bridges can get old and not
fall down?
Fall down?
Mm-hmm.
Like, considering
so many of them are in utter disrepair in our country.
Oh my God.
Like, you may drive over one and maybe.
What we never talk about are bridges and tunnels.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just as like when we talk about infrastructure, we're like, the roads. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think we should absolutely start with bridges and tunnels.
Yes. Because
over potholes.
I feel like there was like every couple years there's a report that comes out that's like 76% of American bridges like a rated grade of D. Like, don't drive over that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like every couple years.
Don't drive over the bridge.
And then nobody does anything about it. And I'm like, can we mark them? Can we mark the bridges we're not supposed to drive over?
Yeah. Well, truly also because we live in areas where the only way to get out is eventually through a bridge.
Or a tunnel. Mm-hmm. Lincoln, Holland.
I don't like it when those are my only two options.
No.
I don't love it.
No.
But nevertheless, that's what it is, mm-hmm. and that's where we are. Mm-hmm. So let's learn about, I think probably like, I could say, and I'm going to say this and nobody get mad, the most iconic bridge in the United States. Maybe the world, but definitely in the United States.
Yeah. I think the only one that maybe is like as, I don't even know, not impressive, because that's not true, I don't think. But like recognizable maybe would be like the GW, the George Washington Bridge, or the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, I would say Brooklyn over, I can't picture what the George Washington Bridge looks like.
Oh, really? Maybe just because like that's probably a bias of mine, because I used to live right next to it.
Well, yeah, because you interact with the GW.
I interact with her a lot more.
You dabble in the GW. But I would say Brooklyn, I would say Golden Gate, and then looking internationally, I would say Tower of London Bridge.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think physically, I would say Tower of London Bridge and Golden Gate have like the physical thing of like, it's a very unique look.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Bridge is cute. And she has a unique look, but it's like less, you know.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. Let's jump in, shall we?
Should we talk about the charge?
Always.
So the sources for today, there's a few. History.com.
Love.
PBS.org is handling our fun facts.
Yes.
The Golden Gate Bridge herself, GoldenGate.org.
I love that a bridge has a website. Mm-hmm. And not only a website, an organization.
An organization. She has a foundation. Both in the water and of a people. And the National Park Service.
Hell yeah. Great sources. Well, let's start with a question, shall we? Let's talk about why did we need this bridge? It's a huge bridge. Why did we originally want it, need it, request it? So following the gold rush boom that began in 1849, speculators realized the land north of the San Francisco Bay would increase in value in direct proportion to its accessibility to the city. So yeah, it's like, first of all, we got to get this gold. Second of all, we have to be able to get there quickly and efficiently. And they're what if these two land masses connected?
Interesting.
That would be crazy.
Built a...
What is that called? The thing where you...
Goes like this. Goes like one to here, over... What's that called?
Yeah. Two endpoints connected by...
I think.
There must be a word for that.
Yeah.
Soon, a plan was hatched to build a bridge that would span the Golden Gate, a narrow 400-deep strait that serves as the mouth of the San Francisco Bay, connecting the San Francisco Peninsula with the southern end of Marin County. So here's something I already didn't know, was that the name Golden Gate comes from the body of water.
I had no idea either.
I thought it was because it was the color.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too.
Okay.
Or you always see these like shining pictures with the light.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, it's golden. Oh my God.
I totally thought it was like a Razzle Dazzle Jazz Hands type of a name. Mm-hmm. Not like she's literally in the Golden Gate Street.
Right, right. Like we thought it was this creative name. And in fact, the people were like, well, let's just call it the Golden Gate Bridge since it crosses the Golden Gate. We wanted that creativity and we did not get it.
We did not get it.
Although we thought we did. We did not get it.
But you know what? She really works her name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's really working her name.
So let's talk about whose idea it was, shall we? In 1916, more than four decades after railroad entrepreneur Charles Crocker's call for a bridge across the Golden Gate Strait, in 1872, James H. Wilkins, a structural engineer and newspaper editor for the San Francisco Call Bulletin, captured the attention of San Francisco city engineer Michael M. Shaughnessy?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah.
I just want to congratulate you on the reading of that sentence because it was
perfect.
Wasn't
it amazing?
And that, I almost tried to break that sentence up and I was like, I'm too tired.
No, I got it.
It was a monster and congratulations, you did it.
I got it because the commas were all in the correct place.
That is
unlike
true.
Other times when you give me things and there is no punctuation. So I'm having to try to figure out the punctuation.
Well, you know what?
While reading.
I am not allowed to.
This gave me the cues.
That's true. It gave you the cues. And in those times, it comes in documents like the Declaration of Independence, which I am not
correct.
Allowed to edit.
Usually our founding materials are the worst.
Are the worst ones. Full of run-on sentences, parentheticals upon parentheticals upon parentheticals.
Yes. So to summarize, essentially, this guy Charles had been screaming literally since the early 1900s about having a bridge. Fast forward 60 years later, another dude was like, this... should definitely be a bridge. He knew a dude who happened to be an engineer, and thus the idea was born.
Yes.
So it was like a 60-year percolation.
Of this poor guy just screaming, a bridge!
A bridge! God damn it!
Somebody hear me!
In August of 1919, city officials formally requested that O'Shaughnessy explore the possibility of building a bridge that crossed the Golden Gate Strait. O'Shaughnessy began to consult a number of engineers across the United States about feasibility and cost of building a bridge. So he's like, okay, let me see what this will do. How we can do this and what it will cost.
Love it. Get a bid.
Most speculated that a bridge would cost over $100 million and that one could not be built. But it was Joseph Behrman Strauss that came forward and said such a bridge was not only feasible, but it could be built for $25 to $30 million. You know, I'm going to say this right now. I don't think we should ever build a bridge on a budget. Do you know what I mean?
It's a place you should not skimp.
Yeah. Just spend the money. Mm-hmm. Just spend the money. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, why build a bridge and try to lower costs? Like, just pay it.
Just pay it. Just pay it.
Pay it.
Just pay it.
On June 28th, 1921, Strauss submitted his preliminary sketches to O'Shaughnessy. The cost estimate for his original design, a symmetrical cantilever suspension hybrid span, was $17 million.
Yeah.
So we went from a $100 million potential project, and then this guy, Joseph Bearman Strauss, comes in and he's like, here's something for $17 million. How about that?
How about that?
How about that? It took O'Shaughnessy a year and a half to release the cantilever suspension hybrid bridge design to the public. During this time, Strauss went about promoting the idea of a bridge by using his original design in communities throughout Northern California. Strauss dedicated himself to convincing civic leaders that the span was not only feasible, but it could be paid with toll revenues alone. His energies paid off, as once his design was made public by O'Shaughnessy in December of 1922, the public voiced little opposition, even though it was described as, quote, ugly by the local press. I mean, I don't think she's ugly.
I don't think she's ugly. I mean, what, as opposed to what? Like,
you know, those gorgeous other bridges. Those
gorgeous other bridges with, like, tons of makeup, their hairs did. Like, what? Ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Strauss was a steadfast believer who organized the political, financial, and promotional efforts to build the bridge. The time was right to span the strait as population centers were growing and traffic congestion at the ferry docks was becoming intolerable. Imagine being late and being like, sorry, I got backed up on the ferry docks.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm late.
By 1929, motor vehicle travel via ferry had exploded, with demand exceeding available capacity. But there were no federal or state funds available to build the bridge because the construction of San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge had already received the limited funds available. So now we have this, even though we've gotten it down to $17 million,
right.
we still can't afford it because we built a separate bridge.
Right.
We blew our budget
on a...
Can't have two bridges.
Right. On an also very obvious named bridge. Wait, have you ever seen the San Francisco Oakland Bay Bridge? Ugh, that's a tongue twister. I just want to look and see if she's ugly.
Let's see.
Oh.
I mean, I feel like she's very, like, fine looking.
She's very...
To me, it looks like a very standard bridge.
Yes.
There's nothing interesting about this bridge.
No, she's very long. She's similar, I feel like kind of a similar feel to the Golden Gate, right?
Okay, yeah, I think so, fine. Except other than color.
Yeah.
But like structurally, sure.
Yeah, no, she's fine.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So, in order to get the funding for the Golden Gate Bridge, we had to do some little political finagling. They had to form a special district, basically, in order to get it funded. So the idea of forming a special district of the state of California to construct the bridge was proposed by San Francisco city engineer, one Michael O'Shaughnessy, secretary to the mayor of San Francisco, Ed Rainey, and engineer Joseph B. Strauss. They believed a special district was necessary to oversee the financing, design, and construction of the bridge, so that all counties affected would have a voice in the proceedings. How diplomatic.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, we want to hear love what it. The They're people like, have to say.
Yeah. First of all, the people should have a voice. Secondly, we should create a whole new district just for this bridge. That's how badly we want it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Find the loophole, honey. This is the loophole.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Working with California State Assemblyman Frank L. Coombs of Napa and Marin County Attorney George H. Harlan, a specialist in the organization of tax districts, the Coombs bill enabling the creation of a special district, which was a bridge and highway district, for the purpose of planning, designing, building, and financing a bridge across the strait, was signed into law on May 25th,
1923. So, that's some 20 shit.
Yeah.
That can only happen in the 1920s.
Okay, because nobody's paying attention. We're like...
No, they're like, yeah.
No.
Like, six people knew about this special district.
Yeah. Special district to do what? The fate of the bridge idea was now in the hands of the War Department, as only it could authorize construction as the owner of the land on either side of the strait. So now they've got to get permission from the War Department? Federal government?
Naturally.
Because that makes sense.
That's the obvious next thing that you go to. It's like, okay, we got the special district. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk to the War Department.
Mm-hmm.
Next step.
Yep. Additionally, the War Department had jurisdiction over all harbor construction potentially affecting shipping traffic or military logistics. Okay, that I get. They're like, if you're going to build a bridge... And we need to get our water warships out.
Yeah.
Then
we'll break down the bridge if we have to.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's do this. Let's think about all scenarios, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In May 1924, San Francisco and Marin counties made a joint application to the War Department for a permit to build a bridge. I would love to see that permit just in crayon. Please let us build a bridge.
We want a bridge.
We want a bridge.
Sincerely, San Francisco and Marin County.
Strauss, Shaughnessy, and Rainey. And whomever else was involved in this. There's so many dudes in this.
A lot of dudes. A lot of dudes. I mean, what? We're going to... Please.
I know. A lot of dudes.
This is the most dude thing.
Mm-hmm. We want a bridge. And we want to know. The War Department held a hearing on May 16, 1924 to discuss two issues. Would the bridge hinder navigation? One. And was adequate financing available? Two. Both valid. Both valid.
Valid.
Let's pay for it. Can we get under it?
Right.
Valid.
Yeah.
Because of overwhelming testimony in favor of the bridge project, Secretary of War John Weeks issued a provisional permit on December 20th, 1924. Great. We're moving along. We're moving along. Strong opposition quickly emerged from well-financed special interest, particularly the ferry companies.
Sure, taking money from the ferries.
Taking money from the ferries, who at this day and age, way back in 1900, they were the big boys.
The original auto industry, you know?
An aggressive campaign was launched to stop construction of a bridge and the formation of the special district as the entity to build the bridge. 8 years of opposition and litigation followed. So they've passed the bill. They've got the special district. They've gone to the War Department. The War Department sounds good to me. We can get under it. You've got some monies. And the ferry companies are like, hell no. And they hold
absolutely
up construction
not.
For 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. 8 years. Joseph B. Strauss based himself at San Francisco's Palace Hotel. He quickly became the most outspoken promoter of the bridge, spending the next few years leading and organizing petition drives to convince the individual counties from San Francisco to the Oregon border to join the new bridge district. Under the Coombs Bill, which is the one that created the special district, all 21 Northern California counties had the option to join or not join the bridge and highway district. When 10% of a county's population agreed by signing a petition, the petition was then submitted to the county board of supervisors, who would then decide to join or not join the district. This is a very diplomatic process.
I know. Good Lord. I know. It's so kind of like by the book.
I know. I kind of dig it.
Very unlike us.
While many counties opted out, San Francisco, Marin, Sonoma, Del Norte, and parts of Napa and Mendocino counties ultimately voted to form the bridge and highway district. So they're yes, let's make this district so we can get the monies, so we can get the bridge built, so we can stop wasting our time on these ferries,
literally,
which are not running.
like, get going.
There's just not enough room.
Who knew that to build a bridge, you had to build a county?
Crazy.
You know, it's just not as easy as you think. If like putting two sticks and a thing of plywood across, it's tougher than you might think.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about construction, because eventually, as you know, we do construct the darn thing. So finally, on January 5th, 1933, construction began on the Golden Gate Bridge as workers excavated 3.25 million cubic feet of dirt for the structure's huge anchorages. Anchorages?
Anchorages.
Anchorages. What a word.
I know. I've never heard that before. I mean, I guess that is the plural form. It wouldn't be Anchorage I.
Anchorage I. Anchorage you. Anchorage me. Anchorage us.
Oh, my God. So many good ones. Brooklyners, Brooklynites.
Yeah, we're killing it.
We're killing it today.
The start of construction was met with great delight. A celebration at nearby Crissy Field went on for hours with at least 100,000 people in attendance. The San Francisco newspaper wrote the next day, quote, 250 carrier pigeons provided by...
I know. You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I'll start it again because I...
This is
you
one
know
of the crazier things.
You know an immediate left turn?
Yeah. Oh, you're going, so, and all of a sudden you're reading about carrier pigeons.
I'm like, hold on. So the newspaper wrote, quote, 250 carrier pigeons provided by the San Francisco Racing Pigeon Club to carry the message of groundbreaking to every corner of California were so frightened by the the surging human mass that small boys had to crawl in their compartments in the bridge replica to shoo them out with sticks. Leave them alone.
They're like, no.
These poor birds. Let them be. Also, pigeons?
Also, we're sending the little boys with sticks. Go, get out.
God, get out of there. Fly, fly.
Oh my God. Everything about that sentence is so good.
Whew. And the fact that it was in the newspaper, what a time it was. The era of reckless daredevilry among bridgemen came to an end with the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, as chief engineer Joseph Strauss insisted on a rigid safety code supported by latest safety innovations. Okay, Joseph.
Yeah. Bridgemen being the people building the bridge.
Yeah. He's like, you don't need to die to do this.
No.
That's insane.
It seems so silly.
Despite the high winds, churning currents, and towering heights that challenged the work, Strauss was determined to buck the industry's deadly average of one fatality per $1 million spent on a construction project. Quote, on the Golden Gate Bridge, we had the idea we could cheat death by providing every known safety device for workers, end quote, he wrote in 1937 for the Saturday Evening Post. To the annoyance of the daredevils who loved to stunt at the end of the cables, far out in space, we fired any man we caught stunting on the job. So he's like, you want to act a fool? You want to put your life in danger? How about this? You don't have a job.
You don't have a job.
How about that? Mm-mm. Bye.
Bye. Ain't nobody dying on Strauss's watch.
Uh-uh. No, thank you. According to Stephen Cassidy's Spanning the Gate, the Golden Gate was not the first big job to feature hard hats and safety lines, as some have claimed, but it was the first to enforce their use with the threat of dismissal. So you either are safe or you can't work.
Or you don't have a job.
Bye. Bye. Your choice.
Yeah. I like that. I like that ultimatum. Oh my God. Me too. It reminds me kind of something we dealt with recently. Oh yes, the vaccinations. Get fucking vaccinated or you don't have a job. Just
or you die.
Small throwback. 6 months ago.
SOS.
Oh my God. So they build the bridge. The span, as she's sometimes called in these notes. They built the bridge and they have an opening because the bridge is finished.
Obviously.
And so they have a party. The Golden Gate Bridge officially opened on May 27th, 1937, which
that's
is
today. I mean, it's not today that you, the listeners, are listening to this, but it is the day that we are recording it.
It's today.
Was that on purpose? Did you figure that out or was this a surprise?
Well, you told me in your suggestions.
No, I know, but the fact that we decided to record today.
Oh, no, that was just an accident. That was a happy accident. Oh my God.
Okay, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, GGB. Golden Gate Bridge. What's 2022 minus 1937?
No.
No. Wait, we're going to do quick math because neither Lizzie or I majored in mathematics.
I'm going to guess 95.
85.
And that's what I said.
That's exactly right. That's what I heard. So it's her 85th anniversary today. Happy anniversary, Golden Gate Bridge.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. So when she officially opened on May 27th, 1937, she was the longest bridge span in the world at the time.
Hell yeah. If you're not first, you're last.
That's right. The first public crossing had taken place the day before when 200,000 people walked, ran, and even roller skated over the new bridge.
Go off.
That sounds awesome.
I bet those people hated the roller skating people.
Oh, 100%. The roller skating people were like, yeah. I mean, I kind of want to see that picture of like all these different people crossing. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would be annoyed by the roller skaters. With its tall towers and famous trademarked, quote, international orange paint job, the bridge quickly became a famous American landmark and a symbol of San Francisco.
I love the idea that the orange is international orange.
Yes, I know. It was very specific. I was like, I didn't know we had international colors.
I'm sure that's the literal name of the paint color now. Like Tiffany Blue.
Tiffany Blue.
International orange.
So nowadays, you can walk or bike, although no bike rentals are available at the bridge, the entire length of the 1.7-mile long bridge, but dress warmly, says the very National cold. Park Service. It's cold.
Yeah.
At the south end, gifts can be purchased at the Golden Gate Bridge Welcome Center, and the Roundhouse and Bridge Cafes provide food. During part of the year with daylight savings time, the bridge walk is open to pedestrians between 5 a.m. and 9 p.m. The remainder of the year, the bridge walk is open from 5 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. So check your days.
Pretty much like daylight, I feel like.
Daylight.
From sunrise to sunset.
Yeah. The Welcome Center welcomes visitors, provides orientation and information services, houses exhibits, and offers high-quality commemorative and interpretive merchandise. What's interpretive merchandise?
Oh, who's to say?
I think anybody. That's why it's interpretive.
But that's what the Golden Gate thinks it is.
That's what the Golden Gate thinks. That's what the Golden
Gate
thinks.
I'll leave this up to your interpretation, this magnet. This commemorative spoon.
Oh, my God. The Welcome Center also showcases the original 12-foot stainless steel bridge test tower used in 1933. That would be cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a great view from to Alcatraz from the Golden Gate Bridge, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Love it.
Love.
So let's end this episode with, you know, my favorite thing in the world, which are fun facts about the Golden Gate Bridge. First up. The length of steel wires used in the cables of the bridge is enough to circle the earth three times. Thrice.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Considering it's...
That's a profound amount.
It's sitting on the earth and is relatively small. Yeah. It's only 1.7 miles.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a lot. I mean, thank God. I would rather that and it stay up forever than...
For sure, yeah.
Then two times the circle of the earth.
Let's hoist that thing
up. And we're falling into the strait.
Correct. If the U.S. Navy had its way, the bridge might have been painted in black and yellow stripes to assure greater visibility for passing ships. I get it, but ugly.
Uh-huh.
I get it. There's fog.
You know, right.
There are actual real concerns. But, yeah. Like, international orange, I think, is... well enough to see.
Right. Also, because you're going to paint it black with yellow stripes, like, most of it's black then, which is not visible.
Fair. Look, ultimately, they didn't win this argument, probably because of these exact points we're making. Next fun fact. During construction, a safety net below the bridge saved the lives of 19 men who became known as the, quote, halfway to hell club. End quote. Hell to the yeah. I mean, not hell to the yeah, because the idea of like falling off a bridge,
oh my God,
makes me want to vomit.
Yep.
But also, like, it's kind of metal if you think about it.
It's kind
like,
of metal.
We are halfway to hell club. Are you ready to rock?
Could you imagine like landing in the net and being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I would vomit and pee myself at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you have the net. Last fun fact, more than 1 million cars have crossed the bridge since it opened in 1937. I mean, it's busy.
Yeah, it's busy. Like,
it's an incredibly useful bridge. It is not without, it has paid for itself 10 times over.
At least.
I'm sure at this point.
At least.
And that's the end of our fun facts, and that is the end of our Golden Gate Bridge episode.
Hell yeah. Have you ever, so you've seen her.
Yes, I've seen her.
You've seen. I have not seen her.
Yes. Oh. I have an iconic photo of me.
Oh,
I'll send it to you right now.
Is the Golden Gate Bridge round?
The Golden Gate Bridge is not round, which is insane for you to hear. But just one second.
Oh, my God.
I did a little photo shoot in front of it, believe it.
I can believe it. Is it because Alcatraz is in the background?
I just sent you at least six photos of myself. And you know what? Maybe one of them will be on our Instagram post.
Hell
because
yeah.
I'm Bane. Two national treasures in the same photo, me and the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh my God, these are beautiful.
Thank you. There's also here one of me squatting in front of Alcatraz. I'll send that to you.
Oh my God, I see it. Oh my God.
There it is.
I feel like these are, we're getting married to our self photos. Do you know what I mean? They're excellent.
And you know what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting married to the Golden Gate Bridge.
I love these.
So,
these are amazing.
I have seen her in the flesh.
Oh my
She's
God.
Cute. I know.
Stunning.
I know. So that is the end of our Golden Gate Bridge episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you get to see her one day. Shout out to all my bridges out there. I see the work and that tunnels. You do. And tunnels. Don't forget the tunnels.
Under, over.
And in the meantime, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Sipical. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.